Do you marvel? By that, I'm not asking whether or not you are immersed in a universe populated by Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Black Panther, and of course, Captain Marvel herself. No, I mean, do you marvel? To marvel is to be overwhelmingly amazed in awestruck wonder. That's what it means to marvel. To be overwhelmingly amazed in awestruck wonder. Do you marvel? Albert Einstein is said to have commented, "He who can no longer pause to wonder and stand rapt in awe is as good as dead." Do you marvel? I remember the first time I went to the Grand Canyon. I was just about 10 years old. I didn't know what to expect, but oh my gosh. 200 miles long, a mile deep, 18 miles across. I've had opportunity to visit the Grand Canyon a few times, several times. The last time was about 4 years ago. But it never ceases to bring wonder to me. I remember this last time as we were approaching, my heart began to beat a little bit faster in anticipation because I've been there before and I knew what to expect. But you get out of the vehicle and approach the rim and just look over and it's, that's what it means to marvel. No matter how many times I visit the Grand Canyon, I stand rapt in awe. John Muir described it this way. He wrote, "No matter how far you have wandered or how many famous gorges and valleys you have seen, this one, the Grand Canyon of the Colorado, will seem as novel to you as unearthly in the color and grandeur and quality of its architecture as if you had found it on some other star." Do you marvel? What causes you to marvel? Do you know the marvel of God? Ecclesiastes calls us, chapter 5, verse 7, calls us to stand in awe of God. One of the most amazing calls that I've ever encountered to be awed by God was written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning in her epic poem, Aurora Leigh. We find these lines: "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." Do you know the marvel of God? Do you know the marvel of God's work? God calls us to marvel over and over in Scripture. One of those places, Habakkuk, chapter 1, Verse 5, I don't know when was the last time you visited Habakkuk. It's not very long, but it is an amazing book of the prophet. And here in the opening verses of chapter 1, Habakkuk, the prophet, is asking, Lord, why is it that things are so wrong? Why is it that things are so bad? Where are you, and when will you do something? And God speaks, verse 5, Habakkuk 1, and says, look among the peoples of the earth, watch and wonder marvelously, for I am accomplishing in your days what you would not believe even if it were told. We are called to marvel at God's work. And of course, in Scripture, we know that repeatedly there's descriptions of people who are in awe, they are amazed by, they marvel at the work of God. It's one of the continuing themes, for example, with Luke. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and also wrote the Acts, which most of us understand to mean the Acts of the Apostles, but I recognize as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But it's the book of Acts, and Luke wrote both the Gospel and the book of Acts, and several times we find him describing that people were amazed, they were in awe, they marveled at the work of God. One of those is in Luke chapter 1. It's described in verses, beginning with verse 62. Remember, Luke describes how it is that John the Baptizer, who was Jesus' cousin and about 6 months older than him, that before he was born, his father, who was a priest, Zechariah, went to the temple, and it was his turn to go into the Holy of Holies. And there in the Holy of Holies, he had this phenomenal experience with God, in which God told him that he was going to have a son. They had no children. They were advanced in age. And Zechariah said something like, this is a paraphrase, but he said, God, wait, this is Zechariah. Are you sure it's not the next guy you're supposed to be telling this? And the Spirit says to him, no, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And because you weren't so sure, you're not going to have the ability to speak until the boy is born. But in the Holy of Holies, the Spirit tells him that he's going to name his son John. And John would come and prepare the way for the Messiah. So sure enough, for the entire pregnancy, Zechariah could not speak. And so the little boy is finally born, and they ask Zechariah's wife, they asked John's mother, so what is the boy's name? And she says, John. And they said, why John? I mean, there's nobody in your family who's named John. Where does that name come from? And so here, Luke chapter 1, verse 62 and following, it says, and they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, his name is John. And they all marveled. And at once his mouth was open and his tongue freed, and he spoke, praising God. And fear came on all those who lived around them. And all these words were talked about in the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard put them in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with them. That's what it means to marvel. It means to be so amazed that not only are you struck with wonder, but you cannot contain it. You want to talk about what it is that has brought you to a place of wonder and awe. They marveled at the work of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 18, describes how it is that the shepherds who had been visited by the angels and told that they would go and find a mother and a child, and the baby would be lying in a manger, and that they followed the instructions of the angels and went and indeed found this baby just as they've been told. And Scripture says that they could not contain themselves. Now, I don't know what time of day it was. You know, in all the movies, it's like in the early morning hours. But we don't know. But whatever time it was, they got everybody's attention. If that meant they woke everybody up, then that's what happened. Because they spread the word. They could not contain what had happened to them. And Scripture, Luke 2:18 says that all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Not only that they had been visited by angels, not only that they had been told and then found, as they were told, a child in a manger, but also what the angels told them about this child who had been sent by God himself. They were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And then still in Luke chapter 2, later in the chapter, it talks about how Mary and Joseph, according to their tradition and the Jewish law, had taken the baby to the temple because he was their firstborn, needed to be dedicated to God. And there they met a man, it says, who had been waiting for the Messiah and who had been promised that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. His name was Simeon. When he heard the baby's cry, the Spirit says, here he is. This is the one. Simeon takes the child and he gives praise to God that God had allowed him to experience this. And then he says to Mary and Joseph, this is how God is going to use this child. He's the Messiah. He's going to change the world. And Scripture, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, it talks about how Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon had told them. Then in Acts chapter 2, Luke describes the launch of the church. It describes how it is that those followers of Jesus, maybe a few more than 100, were gathered in one place in Jerusalem as he told them to, and that the Spirit fell on them in an unprecedented way, and they began to speak in languages that they had never studied. And they poured out on the street. The move of God was so amazing that it could not be contained in the room. They just poured out into the street and began to engage people in conversation. And this was during a festival. And so there were people from many different places, many different regions, far from Jerusalem who were there, who spoke many different dialects. And Scripture says that they heard, that each of these different groups, they heard these followers of Jesus speaking of the marvelous excellencies of God in their own dialect. And Scripture says that those who heard them speaking in their own language said, how could this be? Aren't they all Galileans? I guess they spoke the language, but with a Galilean accent. I'm not sure how they knew. But they knew they were all Galileans, and they were amazed. Acts chapter 3 describes how it is that Peter and John are going into the temple, and there is a person who cannot walk, who is there at the temple, and he's asking for people to give them money. Peter says to him, I don't have money, but what I do have, I'll give you. And in the name of Jesus, he was healed. And Scripture says in Acts chapter 3 that when the crowd saw him, they saw this person who had not been able to walk, standing and leaping, that they were amazed at the work of God. It also says in Acts chapter 4 that Peter and John were brought in front of the Sanhedrin. And they were brought before the Sanhedrin because they were talking about this Jesus. Sanhedrin thought, you know, we took care of that problem. And here it is again. Now his followers. How are we going to deal with this? And as Peter spoke up and they listened to John's testimony, Scripture says they were amazed because they saw the courage of Peter and John and that they were ordinary men. Take hope and encouragement from that. God uses just regular people like us. That's what he does, ordinary people. And they saw, Scripture says, they could see that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And they were amazed. One other description of being amazed in the book of Acts is from chapter 13. Barnabas and Paul are on their first missionary journey, and they're out, and they've come to the island of Cyprus. And there they meet the governor of that part of the world, and they begin to make sure that he knows about the gospel, and God uses Paul in a powerful way, miraculously. And scripture says that this governor was amazed. He was in awe. He marveled at the power and the teaching of Barnabas and Paul. Do you know the marvel of God's work? Are all these events in scripture so familiar to you that they're just like, oh yeah, I know that happened? No, it's amazing. These are amazing works of God. And of course, people marveled at Jesus. They marveled at the miracles. 11 different occasions it's recorded in the gospel that people were amazed. They marveled at Jesus' miracles. 6 different times it says they marveled. They were amazed at his teachings. Even Pilate was amazed by Jesus. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 27 and Mark chapter 15. Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus, "Yes." But then as the priests and the elders were accusing Jesus, it says that he gave no defense. He gave no answer, and Pilate marveled at Jesus. Do you know the marvel of God's work? But this series is about God's will, isn't it? Do you know the marvel of God's will? Do you? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived or can conceive what God has prepared." What God has intended, the purpose and the plan of God. Do you know the marvel of God's will? Sisters and brothers, friends, I call on you today to marvel with me at the will of God, to create. It's the opening of Scripture. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God." That right there? How do you get over that? In the beginning, God was already there. That's awesome. That's amazing. But it continues, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," spoke it into existence. That was his intention. He didn't do that by accident. He didn't do that with some coincidence. He didn't do that without having purposed and planned it. It was his will, is his will to create. Do you know the marvel of God's will to create a universe, to create all that is from nothing at all, to create order from chaos, to create his intention, his plan in advance, to create a universe of countless billions of galaxies, and a planet populated by beings consisting of billions of billions times billions of billions molecules in each body, controlled by a brain of 86 billion neurons, governed by one soul, animated by the very life force of God himself, in whose image we are created. That's his will. Do you know the marvel of God's will to create? What mind can conceive? Will you marvel with me at the will of God to create such a universe? and to create a people for his own. To create a people from out of the peoples of the earth, through whom he could bless all the peoples of the world. It's an amazing plan. His purpose is indescribable. Will you marvel with me at the will of God and how it is that he has intended that you, out of all of these galaxies of stars and all the beings that have ever lived and will ever live, he knows you and has intended that you would be a part of his very special people. Marvel at the will of God. Would you marvel with me at the will of God to deliver? You're familiar with these verses from Exodus chapter 3. You've heard them probably at different times or heard them referred to. Exodus chapter 3 is one of the most amazing places in the Bible. It's part of an extended record of a conversation that God himself had with Moses. That in and of itself is awesome. But beginning with verse 7, Exodus chapter 3, Yahweh, remember Yahweh is the personal name that God has revealed for himself. Yahweh said, "Surely have I seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their outcry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." So I am come down. Do we have to say any more? That's awesome. God, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. And now come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Would you marvel with me at the will of God? To deliver. He delivered his people from Egypt. And repeatedly, as they for a while would obey, and then they would cease to be faithful, he would bring them back to him in repentance and deliver them again and again and again. It is his will to deliver. And even now, he is delivering people. Perhaps he's delivered you. Would you marvel with me at the will of God to deliver? Would you marvel with me at the will of God to reveal? Again, in Exodus, this time in chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and Yahweh called to him from the mountain, saying, "This you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my treasured possessions among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel." And then he begins to reveal all of his expectations of his covenant. And what a grand covenant it is. It's not only a religious system. It is an economic system. It is a political system. It is a social system that he creates on this earth. God himself revealing himself and all of his expectations, not expecting that somehow we would have to blindly grope about to find him and try to figure out how it is that we could somehow maybe please him. No, it is his will that we would know his expectations. And he reveals that to us. And even reveals himself in the person of Jesus. For as it says in John chapter 1, we have beheld him, the Word made flesh, and he has explained or revealed God to us. That's the will of God. That's his purpose. What other God that we might create or that any culture has ever honored, any other human deity, wants to reveal himself fully to human beings? But that's our God. And that's his will. That's his purpose. Will you marvel with me at the will of God to reveal? For as Scripture says, that stone, which was a stumbling block for those who really did not care for God, who rejected that stone from God, became the cornerstone on which he could build his kingdom and on which you can build your life. He has revealed himself in Jesus. Have you received that revelation? Do you marvel at the revelation of God in Jesus Christ? And have you come to trust that revelation for your own life? For it's not merely for our mental or intellectual enhancement that we're supposed to have this knowledge. The revelation of his will is a transforming experience when you receive him as he has revealed himself and come to trust him as Savior and Lord. Have you done that? I've had conversations recently with people who talk about folks who know a lot about what the Bible says, and they know the words and the phrases and even meanings of those words and even the ways that many people will apply them, but they have never embraced the will of God. They have never opened their hearts and minds to receive God as he reveals himself in Jesus. But as it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as receive him, trust him, is given the great privilege of being one of his children. Have you done that? As we seek this morning to marvel at the will of God, it's not my desire that you would have some kind of special emotional experience today and then go home and maybe watch something on TV. I don't know if any of you have any plans to watch anything on TV today. And then forget about it. No. No, this is a marvel that comes to envelop you and you are never the same. Have you done that? If not, I encourage you to do it even now. I'm going to continue to talk, but even now in the quietness of your own heart. There are no special words that you need to use. There's not like a script that you have to read. But just open yourself to the will of God. First of all, saying, God, I know that I have not lived up to what you created me to be. But I want to be all that you want me to be and to be used by you in all the ways that you have in mind. And I know that I can't do that on my own. So I received Jesus as my Savior. That's what the cross is about. He paid a penalty of separation from the Father so that we wouldn't have to. So that we could come to be in his family. So receive him as your Savior and then acknowledge him as the Lord of your life and walk in the marvel of the will of God. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that as I continue. If you have questions about it, you want to talk about it, then please find me after the service or one of the other people that are here that you know and trust, and they would be delighted to share with you their testimony and help you take that step of faith as well. At the end of the service, there's going to be baptism. These are people who have taken that step of faith, and they want to go public with it because they continue to marvel at the will of God to save. For Lord Jesus said, it's recorded in Luke chapter 19, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And there is this familiar passage, I share it with you often, I'm coming back to it again from Ephesians chapter 2, which describes God's will to save us. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Begin with verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2. In which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It is his will to save you. It is his grace by which he wants to save, and that's a marvel. In the same way we marvel that the great God of the universe would come down to earth, God himself and Jesus has come. And when we receive him, we are transformed. That's his will. It's described in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all, with uncovered faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. It is God's will to transform us and to transform our world, which he is doing. And we want to marvel at the will of God to fulfill all he has promised. Were you paying attention as I read just a moment ago from Ephesians chapter 2? Let me remind you again what it says. You want to know what God's will is for you? It says it right there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus so that in the ages to come, he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's his will for you. To lavish you with his kindness and grace beyond this age. It is his will to make all things new, as he describes in those verses that many of us claim from Revelation chapter 21. For the Spirit opened the curtain of eternity to Apostle John, and he recorded, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of God of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. He has come down. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will no longer be death. There will no longer be mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Would you marvel with me at the will of God? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it will be like when we walk by his side, as Bart Millard reminds us? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what our eyes will see when his face is before us? Can you imagine? Surrounded by his glory, what will our hearts feel? Will we dance for Lord Jesus? Or no, just be still. Will we stand in his presence? Or to our knees will we fall? Will we sing hallelujah? Or will we be able to speak at all? Can you imagine? Marvel with me. Marvel with me at the will of God. It is amazingly astonishing. It is astoundingly awesome, the will of God. Breathtakingly brilliant. The will of God is extravagantly extraordinary, fantastically phenomenal, and forever fabulous. Do you know the gloriously grand will of God, the incomprehensibly incredible will of God, the inexpressibly indescribable will of God? It is magnificently monumental, sensationally stunning and splendidly superb, staggeringly stupendous. That's the will of God. Will you marvel at the will of God? Terrifically tremendous, wonderfully worship worthy, the massively marvelous will of God. Please stand and celebrate it with me, please. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. My burden gladly bearing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.